Before we go to the Word, let's ask for God's mercy upon us as we read the Word and have it ministered tonight. Heavenly Father, we do pray that for Jesus' sake and by the blessing of your Spirit, you'll enlighten us tonight by your Word, Lord, that it may be something we can understand, something that convicts us, and something that causes us to take what we've received with conviction and use it unto your praise this day through faith, hope, and love. We'd ask that you'd help us to that end. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we take up our reading from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. And then we're going to bring to a conclusion another series through the Heidelberg Catechism tonight, looking at Lord's Day 52 again, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, but only at question 127. Now we're going to look at 128 and 129, which will round out the catechism series once again. You can find those questions and answers on pages 63 and 64 in the back of the blue hymnals. But before we go there, we'll look to the word of the Lord, to Romans chapter 11. And consider verses 33 to 36. And here's what God's word says to us there. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. In light of the word, we take that to heart as we consider how we respond to it, and we do that in questions 128 and 29, 129 out of the catechism tonight. And why don't we answer those questions together? This is question 128, 129, page 63 and 64. First question is this: what does your conclusion to this prayer mean? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever means we have made all these requests of you because, as our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but are able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. And question 129 asks, what does that little word, amen, express? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. We do thank the Lord for his word tonight. May it indeed be a blessing to us. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of times when we're enjoying various experiences in life, we do realize that we've heard it said anyway, that good things have to come to an end. But sometimes when we've come to an end of things, we find that there's certain things that are fitting and appropriate to kind of, you know, dot the I and cross the T and put that period or exclamation point to what it is that's concluded. And one of the ways that we might see that is when we anticipate as seniors in high school or seniors in college or even those who are in grade school, maybe eighth graders, in some places it's ninth graders, they look ahead to graduation. And that's a fitting way to kind of put a bow and a ribbon around the studies that we've done. And we celebrate that way. When we retire, there's oftentimes a commemoration for that. I was reminded of that not that long ago, of somebody I know who came to the time of retirement. And they put on a dinner for the gentleman. And it was a time of remembering the work that that person had done and celebrating it and also giving an acknowledgement of the work that had been done. When we watch a fireworks display, and we're watching it, and we're seeing in it all its color and splendor and noise, we enjoy what we see, and we ooh and ah, but we're always kind of thinking at the end, there's going to be some kind of an extravagant end. There's going to be that blockbuster finale that we expect. It just seems fitting to wow the crowd that way. There are endings that fit the occasion. The ending by which we conclude the Lord's Prayer is both fitting and focused. It's fitting as it gives reason as to why we pray in the way that the Lord taught us. And it's focused not on ourselves, but on the God to whom we pray in Jesus Christ, which is where our focus is always meant to be, right? Because whether we're talking about our praise or our practice or our prayers, this is what God intended us to be in the first place. And this is why he recreates us when we've known grace in Jesus Christ to that end. That the Lord might be praised, because from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory, not for a while, not here and there, but forever. So let it be. Amen. This evening we want to flesh out the fitting and focused conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. Focused on God's ability, God's desire, and God's glory. So fitting of an ending to the prayer the Lord teaches us that focuses on God's ability and God's desire and God's glory, which is exactly where our focus should be more and more when we have come to know and we come to appreciate more what God the Father has done for us by the power of his Spirit and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so we start by looking at the focus on God's ability as we hear, for yours or thine is the kingdom, the power and glory forever. We make the profession as a church of Jesus Christ that we have made all of these requests of you because as our powerful King, you're able to give us all that's good. You're able. That's a fitting conclusion to the Lord's Prayer that teaches us to put our attention on the one who's able to do exceedingly more than all we can ask or imagine. The focus is where it ought to be for us. No matter whether we have extraordinary needs, critical needs, sudden needs, or everyday, chronic, day after day kind of needs. Especially when we remember, like our passage reminds us, that from him and through him are all things. The conclusion with that word for reminds us why we come to God in prayer. We come to the one who is the source of all things and the upholder of all things. From him and through him are all things. All things are in accordance with his sovereign will and activity. And who stands in the way of that? Now, who stands in the way of that sovereign ability? Who stands higher than this God? Who else is more able to help us? It's a fitting conclusion to say, yours is the kingdom and the power. Implying that those things don't belong to us or anyone else. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be praying. We're praying and pray what we do because God is the all-powerful King, and we need his power as those who know that we live and move and have our being only by his power. And we cannot live or move or have our being for what lies ahead without his power. We know our place, and we declare it. We admit it, and we do so willingly. Yours is the power and the kingdom. We know in making such a declaration that that's what the petitions presume. Otherwise, why pray them? You know, the Apostle Paul helps us here to underscore the truth that God's ability transcendently surpasses our own. Oh, he says, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. We're not coming to one limited, but to one limitless. In his ability, and in that ability, there is that ability to provide for what's needed to those who come to him. And that's tremendously consoling. And yet at the same time, we come as those who recognize that what he has unlimitedly at his disposal is his without debt. Who has given a gift to him that he may be or that he might be repaid? His riches are self-attained, self-realized, relying and dependent on no one. He owes nobody for his riches, while everyone or all owe all to him. And that's our approach in prayer, isn't it? At least it ought to be. We're to approach him as those who owe everything to him, and not as those who believe that God owes us anything for what we gave him. As if we are deserving from God. That he owes us something. That we have it coming to us. But as those who owe him everything. That's a whole different spirit, isn't it? We can say that we come as those who need to the one who has all, not as those owed to the one who owes us anything or everything. The power and the ability and the kingdom are not ours. And so to conclude that this prayer this way is very fitting, because they're God's. And that's what we're to profess in Christ and to pray to God in Christ, seeking what he's able to provide for our good from his almighty hand. So we ask that his name will be exalted in our lives, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done, that he'll provide what we need, food, drink, wisdom, discernment, pardon, and grace, that he'd give us leading in life, and that he would deliver us from evil. Because the power and the ability to do those things doesn't rest in us. And it causes us, it emits from us, it moves us to go to the person from where it does come. It rests in a one whose wisdom and knowledge are rich, whose judgments are unsearchable, and whose ways are beyond tracing out. They belong to the one who's the counselor, who's not counseled, and to the one who owes us nothing, but to whom we owe our all. For yours is the kingdom and power, we say to God. And we need that focus, and so does a world that forges kingdoms and paths contrary to the kingdom and power of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're kingdoms that kill their children, that dishonor marriage, that seek to build their kingdoms on the death of evil instead of the life of Christ. But even here, there's power. There's power to forgive. There's power to change people's lives. And so we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because yours is the kingdom and power. The conclusion to the Lord's Prayer is also fitting because it focuses on the Lord's desire. Because we profess as a church of Jesus Christ that our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but you're able to give us all that's good. He's not only able, but he wants to. And that's the desire of the Heavenly Father. As we conclude the prayer with the little word amen, which means this is sure to be, we make the statement that it's even more sure that God listens to our prayers than that I really desire what I pray for. Just like God's ability transcendently surpasses our ability, so also does God's desire for us surpass in quality the desires that we have. Now, how grateful to have a God like that. As our faithful Father in Jesus Christ who teaches us how we ought to be praying, as the God from whom and through whom and to whom are all things, we've got a God in whose riches and wisdom and knowledge and counsel is not only able to give us what's needed, but wants to do so as well. God has his sovereign will and desires, and he acts on them, and he acts on them in such a way that his glory will be the end result. God's desires then for us in Christ are unflappable, always faithful, as we heard from Psalm 136, always sincere, always pure, never fickle, never lacking, always for our good. Has not this goodness always been God's way? Are not the power and the kingdom that are his, after all, not good ones? Is not this goodness exactly what the person who declares that from him and through him and to him are all things testifies as he says that he deserves the glory forever? Because when we're praying to the Lord who has the kingdom and the power for Jesus' sake, we're praying to the one whom we come to know has been the source of our salvation eternally, from him. Before the foundation of the world has his sovereign grace come to be. And it is that same God who through his sovereign activity has promised this grace to me and has accomplished the means for this sovereign grace to be mine. Such is the confession of the believer. Through the life, the love, the obedience, the work of Jesus Christ. And he's applied that righteousness to me by way of his Holy Spirit. And so when I'm praying to the Father to whom the kingdom and the power belongs, I'm praying to the one who's already provided and wanted to provide for me the good that I needed by saving me and adopting me as his own in Christ. Is it not going to be so then that he who began that work that he desired in me is going to see it to completion? Would that not also be his desire? Will he who didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us all not also along with him graciously give us all things? Will he not want to give me and all those in him all that's good? And that's why I say amen. And not because that's the word that tells everybody that I'm done, like with a sermon, but because as I pray, I know that God will hear me. And not first of all because of my perfect desire for him, far from it. Because who has that kind of desire? But he'll hear me because of his perfect desire for me through Jesus Christ. That's where the assurance comes. Amen is a confession, not a magic word. And it's a confession that's not about my faithfulness, but about my God's faithfulness to me through Jesus Christ. The focus at the end of my prayer is where it ought to be then. It's fitting, not because of how wonderful I am in my prayers, but how wonderful that for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of his Spirit, God the Father will hear me and provide for me all that's good in response to my prayer. It's especially fitting then that as we finish, not only on our focus on prayer, but another overview of of the Heidelberg Catechism that condenses for us what the Christian life's about, that we declare that to God be the glory forever. That's a fitting conclusion to many scripture passages, including the one we have this night, where we read that from him, through him, and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Praying and living can easily become focused elsewhere. Lord, make me comfortable. Lord, give me A's. Lord, make me profitable. Lord, give me a pain-free life. Lord, may I live trouble-free. Allow me to do well. And leave it at that, please. Make things work out best for me. Not necessarily you. Now, it's a worldly way to focus on ourselves. The center of the universe on ourselves. When we seek to kill our unborn, we dishonor marriage, and we fail to give God the glory in our worship and our work and our wants in prayer, it's because we want to give ourselves the glory forever. Glory that we don't deserve. A glory that's phony. A glory that's misplaced. But when we conclude the Lord's Prayer with, "Thine is the glory forever," when we consider the Lord's sovereign will and activity, and when we consider God's gracious ways to us in Jesus Christ, the unexpected happens in our lives that would otherwise be lacking. God becomes the focus and the center of all that we want, in all for which we pray, in all that we do, and in all that's happening and will happen to us. You know, the entire Lord's Prayer is directed to the glory of the Lord. All that's happening in this world around us, even with the mystery of sin instilled in it, it's working to the glory of the Lord. That's where it's all heading. And how we have to be careful we don't lose sight of that. What you're praying is to be that God may be glorified in all your circumstances and in every calling that you have for the sake of God's grace to you in Jesus Christ. That's what the believer wants. That's what the person touched by God's grace wants, strives for, prays for. And there's no reason for it to be any different. While studious minds and the wise of the world believe that living and moving and having being is something they have a right to choose, let's say for the unborn, we're mindful that we live and move and have our being because of the God who brought us into being. From him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory. When you're considering the electing love of God, the heart of stone that's become the heart of flesh, a new heart rather than an old heart, a new creation rather than an old one, a new birth rather than an old one, who deserves that glory but him? From whom and through whom and to whom are all things. Shall you take the praise for your accomplishments in life and hope and pray other people might shower you with that praise? Or might you instead give God the glory? Should the pen praise itself for its writing? Or the axe, the tree that it has cut down? Or should they rather direct the praise to the one who gave the power and the direction so that the story could be written and the tree could be felled? Now, when you're in Christ, you're of God and through God. is there anything left but for us to be also to God in all things? You know, no wonder the Christian is a person who, when he's in Christ, worships. It's just the natural thing to do then. He worships often. He worships always. And he worships in all things. To God be the glory forever. That's the end. And focus. Not just of the catechism, but of life. And therefore of prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power. From you, and through you, and to you, God, are all things. What a blessing. When all is said and done, that's the conclusion we're able to make in Jesus Christ. To God is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Not me. Not me. I belong to Christ my Savior. And the Father watches over me. And the Spirit assures me of eternal life. To God be the glory. That's sure to be. Amen. Join with me in a prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to see that from beginning to end, you deserve the praise from us and the honor and the glory. And we thank you for your abilities and for your desire and for that glory you certainly deserve. May we find ourselves in Jesus Christ and by the blessing of your Spirit giving you exactly that throughout our days, so that whether we're in places like this, carrying on in our work at home, at school, at work, at play, whether we find ourselves praying, you might be exalted. And we would take joy in the fact that your Son taught us to pray. And may you hear us, dear Father, as we conclude this prayer by praying the Lord's Prayer ourselves as a congregation. Let's pray that together, people. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.